Blog Talk Radio.
Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, and somatic body psychotherapist, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the romantic novel, Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love Seminars, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me Relationship System, and the upcoming 30-Day Love Challenge. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Today I am speaking with Jasmina Aguirre-Cher, spiritual teacher, yogi, brain recovery counselor, and author of Mirror of My Soul, Sanctum of My Heart, beautiful title. From a very young age, she felt different because she could see and sense what others couldn't. Jasmina suffered through illness and appendicitis, while her mother, manic, depressed, and irrational, was a walking time bomb. As a teen, she left home, earned a fine arts degree, lived through an unfulfilling marriage, and a brain tumor that nearly killed her. Jasmina knows about resilience, buoyancy, serving others, and being guided toward the light when at a crossroads. So I'm really excited to be speaking with you today. Welcome, Jasmina.
Oh, thank you for a wonderful introduction, and I'm excited to share my journey with all my listeners, because in each one of us, in our life story, are the keys of who we are, what our purpose is, our soul's wisdom. So thank you so
and
much.
We don't know anything about another person even just by their appearance. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Stories come out. So I would love to hear about your background, your training, what experiences you've had, work experience and life experience, that led to your work not only as a spiritual teacher and healer, but as a brain recovery counselor.
What a task. Where do I want to start? I like to start at the very beginning. Why are we here? What are we born to do? And it's my experience that we do know the answer to that in our soul. So we come into this life with certain lessons that we want to learn, and we will have those experiences to create the contrast so that we can learn those lessons. And for me, I have resilience lessons to learn, to really draw out of myself against the odds, to have a radical faith and trust in my soul connection, in my spiritual connection, which includes inner strength, to really learn to draw upon that. So I had enough contrast to say in my childhood, living with my mom, who was undiagnosed bipolar, mental illness, very common in those days, 60s and into the 70s. And I retreated to my spiritual connection. It is actually very natural. If you ever observe small children, babies, they're so fluid in their spirit. They are very, very connected until our ego develops more. We're more in contact with the outside world, so we can lose that contact. But I do want to say for all you folks listening, that between the ages of 10 and 12, just before the onset of puberty, we have an opportunity to know our soul's purpose again. So we have a sense of our greatness, why we're here. I love to tell stories. Now I have, my son is 19 years old, he'll be 20 this summer. When he was 12 years old, out of the blue, he said to me, "Mama, I have a purpose. I'm going to invent something really significant." He's a scientist, by the way, now, physics and math guy. "And I don't know what it is, but I know it's going to be really important and very big." Now, some years after that, quite recently, I said to him, "Do you remember having that conversation with me?" He says, "I don't remember that." And when I tell him that, it helps him. When I mention again, he connects to his purpose. So it is inside ourselves. We do have that. So that's just a real start point on that question.
Mm.
And that theme has run throughout my life. Of course, I had a massive brain tumor that nearly killed me. I had to recover from that. Again, through divorce, a devastating divorce. And I had, again, I drew within my inner strength, the power I had in my own heart, to the spiritual connection, to bring forth those qualities. I'm talking about intuition, the intuitive connection, to listen, what is the next step in my life, and to use the power of my heart through the spiritual frequencies. There's tools that I teach folks. You can transform stress upon impact in the moment. You can calibrate this in your health. You can improve your health within seconds and get that intuitive connection, what I call a pragmatic intuition, to take the next steps in your life and even repattern stressful thoughts and emotions so that you really live in a more positive framework for your entire life. So it's really, we have such tremendous power inside ourselves. I like to say that in a broader scope, we cannot save the world. We can save the moment. We have the power to do that. And it's a matter of asking. We have this connection within ourselves and taking action on the guidance that we get to have the discernment to know. This is all skills we develop, but we have in our lives used them many, many times. But have the discernment to know, is this truly for the best for me? Is this truly higher guidance? For me,
that is important.
Yes.
But I have a question to ask you about.
Yes.
You said that you had this brain tumor and
almost
died from it. So tell us about that experience. Like, was it a near-death experience? And what happened after that to you? Like, how did you think after that or feel?
Oh, okay. I did have a near-death experience. I had been suffering from brain tumor symptoms for about a year, and the medical community failed to diagnose that. Who knows? I presented as an early middle-aged woman. They thought I was hormonal and stressed out. And so I said, "Do you think you have a brain tumor? Do you think I need a CAT scan?" So my husband at the time and I, we went to some other doctors within the same facility. They all thought it was the same diagnosis. No one recommended that I even have a CAT scan. So I eventually, I collapsed at home from this brain tumor, and I was taken by ambulance to the hospital to have a very acute surgery. The brain tumor was very, very large. It encompassed, it was a frontal lobe meningioma, non-cancerous tumor. So I did have a near-death experience in the surgery, not the kind where you leave your body and you hover over and you watch your surgery. I can't imagine I would ever want to do that. But I left my body and I went into tunnels, and there were supportive beings around me. I felt their embrace, and I came to a, I don't go into every detail, but I came to a light, and I had, at that time, Well, in my life, I've studied with many spiritual teachers, but one in particular named Dion Yogi. When he was in the body, before he left his body, he said to all of us that he would be there to guide our soul to meet God. Now, I was a young woman at the time, and I'm thinking, I don't want to have that. I don't want to find out what that's going to be like. Not now. So, but I did. He was there in as a beautiful hologram of light, and I told him I would like to live. Will you help me? There were other beings around me as well, very highly evolved beings. I said, I want to go in that light. Please help me, and I want to come out, and I want to live, and I want to heal. So I did that, and I came out with such love, just, I can't even find words to describe this love. And because the tumor was so large, I did have, I had a lot of difficulty in the early stages of acute recovery. Oftentimes, I was not in my body. I was in the superconscious state. The suffering was really very great at all levels. The light stayed with me for months in recovery. But in that time, I saw what I'm doing today. And I knew that I had the faith that I would be guided. I was told when I was in the light that you're going to be guided to have everything you need to do this. But what came down for me throughout that experience is I came back because I needed to love more. I needed to love myself more. I needed to extend that love in a greater way to others as well. And I want to say this to everyone out there, that it's okay to be very passionate in your relationship with your spirit, your inner self, your higher self, or God, the life, whatever word you want to use to describe that. And I would talk back. I would say things like, look, you know, if I'm going to be doing this service, you got to give me my brain back. I want everything back. But what was a really miraculous experience that happened to me was, sometimes when a trauma, whether brain trauma or another kind of trauma, illness, not necessarily illness either, is that it cracks you open so much that your spirit expands, your intuition expands, and you have access to aspects of your being that you didn't know you ever had. And so what happened to me was, in my debilitated state, I had to learn how to walk again. I had seizure. I had emotional trauma coming through me, memory issues, and so forth. But what happened was I saw literally, I could see my energetic heart affect my physical heart inside my body. And so when I felt good about my recovery, for instance, when someone came in my room and they were bringing food or they brought me flowers, taking care of my family, I could see my heart light up, my physical heart. And the light traveled up, right up into my brain, and it calmed me. And likewise, when I felt stress, a stressful...
Tasmina, one of my saying that you could actually see it, like a vision of it?
Yeah.
Because working on a 3-day love challenge, talk about the heart and the brain, and the heart sends jagged messages. This is a physical thing that's been studied scientifically, and you actually had a visual experience of it.
Yes, and I do want to mention HeartMath, the Institute of HeartMath. They really, if you're familiar with them, I'm a HeartMath Sciences coach. Right? My visions was I was going to do this work with the heart. This is an acute recovery in the light. And so someone came into my life and brought me information about HeartMath, and I had this aha experience, like, oh, that's them. I know it's them. So I contacted them, and I started working on myself with their techniques, which is amazing. But I got in touch with Dr. Roland McCready of the Institute of HeartMath, and I said, this is what's happening to me. And I saw my heart light up and go up to my brain, and he said, yes, that's how it communicates through the afferent nerve, the autonomic nervous system. The heart gets the positive emotion experience first, then it relays it to the brain. So it's very big research still ongoing, not just with heart math, but in other modalities as well. So I was like, oh, my God, I really saw it. So likewise, when we have stress, when being so debilitated grew on seizure, and I could feel it traveling in my neural pathways in my brain. So I made a pact with myself, writing in my journal, I want to live from my heart now. I don't want to live so much from my head.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh? I'm still amazed that you actually had a visual experience of this.
Yes.
We experience it in different ways, and that's amazing. So,
well, one
of
my
next question, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, so go ahead. Go ahead. No, I think you should call. Go ahead. Go for it.
You've also made a lot of trips to India. So how did that mm-hmm. affect what you already were experiencing and knowing?
That had a great deal to affect that, because it gave me the tools for that heart experience, for me to have that, because I've been practicing many years working with my spirit through meditation, through yogic practices, pranayama and so forth. So India had a lot to do with that opening. But what I want to say, what's coming to me right now, is that because of the trauma I had in my childhood, I never bonded with my mom emotionally. And we need to open our hearts some way. It needs to open. So that, how that used to help them is through the support of others, through other people's love. And so when I met Sri Anandi Ma, another spiritual teacher, she's alive in the body today. When she met me, she saw that in me, and she has many, many students. She said to me, you come and you be as close to me as you want to be. And she became my spiritual mother and helped open my heart to the feeling level, to my divine feminine. So going to India with her, it even further made that a deeper experience for me. I learned so much about how to be compassion and love and care for others in healing as well. Just a phenomenal. I have so many experiences in India. As my mother, really, the spiritual energy is very, very high there, even though the material is not so much. We have the material in the U.S. We are bringing in that divine feminine connection. We need it very much.
Wow. Right. Can you describe one of your experiences there?
Oh, I have many. Okay, one of them is I'm sitting in my room, in Dhyan Yogi's room on the other side of India. This is how powerful the spiritual guidance is that we can, as human beings, we can have. And he said, I'm going with you on your trek in the Himalayas. Now this is a 113-year-old man. He's not going to be going with us on the trip. He's a yogi. He's a very advanced yogi. He said to us, I'm going with you on my astral body. And I'm sitting in that room, and I'm thinking, yeah, okay, you are, right. So we did a very dangerous trek way up in the Himalayas, the glacier region, and I cut my finger into a main artery, and there was no treatment for it other than a butterfly bandage, no painkillers, nothing. And I had altitude sickness. And there were other folks in our party that were older that were having physical difficulties. It was a dangerous trek. I remember seeing a couple of people come down in body bags, and I'm like, oh, my God, on this trek. I was just way up in the Himalayas. But I had an issue. I ran out of water. I was spaced out, probably with the pain, the altitude. I wasn't functioning properly. I sent my guide up ahead of me with my donkey and all my supplies. So I had no water. And I'm walking for hours getting more and more thirsty. You get to a certain point when you're trekking up the Himalayas, you can't turn back. There's nowhere to go. Sleeping on the trail, I had to make up by nightfall. Sleeping on the trail is not an option. I mean, so in places, maybe 3 feet, 2.5 feet, and it drops. So there's, you know, wild animals up there. And so I'm midway up there, and I'm getting more and more thirsty, feeling like I can't go on. And all of a sudden, there's this young man running down the trail ahead of me. This is high altitude. saying, Guruji told me someone needs water, someone needs water. He's waving a water bottle. And I said, me. And so he gave me that water bottle. And it was at water enabled me to make camp by nightfall. And so later, during that time, I came across a close friend who had an asthma attack. And she left her med base camp. And so the same person, I stayed with her for a while. There were people trying to help her and shelter her. But I knew I had to get on because if I didn't, I wouldn't make it by nightfall. So he eventually came upon her and was able to run way down base camp up in this high altitude, get her meds and save her life. So the incidents like this were happening. He said, I'm hearing him talk in my head telling me what to do. So after we complete this dangerous trek, we're back in his room on the other side of India, and he says, you know, you guys, he spoke to a translator. He says, I was really worried about some of you. And, you know, he indicated what he did. We knew he was there with us. So that's another phenomenal experience. The other one is that my last trip was in 2009. I'm also a sculptor. Sri Anandamayi gave me a sculpture commission to work on Dhyan Yogi's large life-size murti and statues. So I got very ill. I had E. coli when I was there on that trip. And there's this beautiful woman, village woman, barefoot. They have very little in some of the villages, no running water even. They get it from a well. But I walked the ashram grounds, and every morning we'd pass each other and we'd smile, and we didn't speak each other's language. But one day when I was sick, I'm laying in my bed on the floor. I had a mat on the floor. She saw me in the window as she passed by my room. She came in my room, and I was so ill. She held me, and I cried like a baby. We could not speak language. I felt such love, such strength from this woman. And that's the other side of that experience as well. Like, there's two different ones you can draw upon. There's many more, but those are good examples.
Well, so you have certainly been through illnesses and intense experiences.
Yes.
So how do you help other people? They haven't been through, they may be going through a small experience now, but they haven't of what you've experienced. Most of us haven't. But how do you help people, especially when they're recovering from divorce or any other kind of problem?
Okay. I offer coaching programs. For an example, resilience training. You're really drawing from all the resources, your inner resources, to make changes that you need to make in your life. We have extraordinary power. I have a program for that. Transforming anxiety is another one. That's a popular one. We all have anxiety, but you can really literally learn to transform that with seconds and repattern whatever the anxiety is around, to know what the next action steps are for you to take. I have a heart-based divorce recovery, helping you through the grief process. What did I learn in this relationship? What do I want to not do in my new relationship? Whether you decide to have a new love or not in your life, so that you could live in a state, create a life of joy and fulfillment. They're all pretty popular, actually. And then I have what's called Our Miracle Heart, where we directly work with the power of your heart in a very specific way to make whatever changes to bring healing into your life. I also use HeartMath technology, stress-relieving technology called the M-Wave, and you can see in real time your physiology shift is quite powerful. Then I also have what I call mini guidance sessions, and that's a good way to get started as well. So in those mini guidance sessions, you get a fast and effective way to de-stress, to heal, and connect with spiritual intelligence with my help. You'll always go away feeling better than what you came in and have solve any problems you have in your life, really get in touch with your intuition. I have a coupon waiting for you. I also have guided meditation CDs. One is very popular called Meditate with St. Francis in the Grotto. I have another one, Receive Intuitive Guidance from Your Divine Inner Light. And then my book is also on my site, Mirror of My Soul, Sanctum of My Heart. And you can use the coupon for products as well. That is through the end of June. that you talk. I welcome
Wonderful.
You to visit and get in touch with me.
Well, before I ask how people can get in touch with you, I have one more question. But
yes.
So even though I kind of know, because this is my work talking about love, but how does accessing the power of the heart help you to heal and create better relationships?
When you access the power of your heart, you're bringing in the highest form of unconditional love. And the facets of unconditional love are, for instance, peace in the moment. That's a big one. We can start there. Joy, wisdom, compassion, contentment, and a non-judgmental attitude. So these are all what I call frequencies of unconditional love. Care is another one. Tenderness is one that's very important when we're ill. We have, I call this soft heart. We bring this tenderness in. It's very rejuvenating for the mind, the body, and spirit throughout the healing process. So literally, you could be peace in this moment. In our sessions, we start that so that you can start feeling that peace. And then your intuition opens up. What is the best action or attitude I can bring in this instance to de-stress myself or this relationship or this situation?
I love
Very
that
fast.
Question. What is the best attitude?
Mm-hmm. Or action
and
I can take.
The best action you can take.
Attitude and or action I can take to de-stress this. Yes.
Wow. That's wonderful. Because we don't think like that. We just lash out or just don't do anything and just to stop for a moment. You also said something else I wanted to ask about. What is heart time?
Heart time. When we shift through these simple steps of intention, you have to know you want to be in heart time. You want to get out of your head and your stress reaction. So the intention, breath, positive emotion, those three steps.
Just repeat that. I'm sorry.
Okay. The steps are intention, breath, positive emotion. Put them all together. You use them, practice them. You are in heart time. That's what we call the power of now. And it's within when you're in that is the miracle, because you're changing the moment for you. You're changing the outcome of that moment. Very important.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
Just that tip alone can transform someone's life.
Yes, yes, truly it can. And that's how I did my early recovery. I was on to the power of the heart. And particularly once I started working with the technique at HeartMath, because they're so simple, that even made it help it grow it even more for me. But my task was just be peace in this moment, because I didn't know what kind of recovery I could get. But that peace moment, when you work with the power of the heart, it does affect physiology. So that was my task. As much as I could throughout a day, I was able to get off the seizure meds, the pain meds, all of it over a period of time. Yeah.
So, Jasmina, how can people get in touch with you? What is the best way?
Okay. Go to my website, jasminaagrilloshare.com, and I'm going to spell that Jasmina Agrillo, Agrillo, share, share.com, jasminaagrilloshare.com. I hardly wait to get in contact with you to really hear your story and to be a support to you.
Well, Jasmina, this was an absolute delight. I would love to hear more of your stories, and your book sounds wonderful. So thank you so much for coming and sharing with our listeners.
Oh, thank you. It has been an honor of me, an honor of all of your special gift that you have. The world's waiting for you, too.
They really are waiting for healing.
Yes.
Thank you. So
thank
I am
you.
Your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond and Be Healthy. Contact me at drericagoodstone.com for counseling, coaching, or upcoming courses. Hire me to speak at your next event. Check out my books at amazon.com and smashwords.com, and look for an update on my 30-day love challenge starting in the middle of the summer. Bye for now, and peace in the moment.